All right, good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Thanks for being here with us this morning to worship the Lord. It's a great day, and it's a great thing to gather, to worship, and to open the Bible together. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will come, and they'll give you a Bible, and you can follow along on the printed page and get into the text with us. In my office at home, I have an entire shelf devoted to the life and the writings of St. Augustine. His life and his writings have had a huge impact on me through the years. It all started pretty early, at about age 21, after I had come to Christ. Somebody handed me a copy of the Confessions of St. Augustine, and I started reading it, and I had no idea what I was reading. I was reading this thing, and I'm going, I don't know what this is about, but it's really deep. I know that. I just know it's deep. And I know it's amazing, and someday I'd like to grasp this. And so I kind of made it my point to, I just took that thing with me, and I'd pull it out, and I'd read it and scratch my head, and I'd read it, and I'd pray, and that's the way I went through the years, and I've kind of added to the collection on that thing. And so because it's Mother's Day, I'd like to tell you the story of Augustine's mother. Her name was Monica. And his mom was a Christian. She was married to an unbeliever, married to a man who was not a believer in Christ. And she had a wayward son. Her son, Augustine, was a guy who rejected the faith. He went and he lived a life of pronounced sin. And in the Confessions of St. Augustine, he talks about it very dramatically. He just lays it out. He just lays out his sinful life. And this was what his mother was watching. Her heart was broken, but she was a woman of deep faith and constant prayer. So she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And she would go to the local bishop and plead with him, weeping and pleading and saying, please pray for my son, pray for my son. Eventually, this began to annoy the bishop. And one day, he made a reply to her with these famous words. He said, woman, it is impossible that the son of such tears should perish. Isn't that a great line? It's impossible that the son of such tears, and we might add prayers, should perish. And it was true. Now, several years later, I'm talking several, he came to faith in Christ. He talks about it in the Confessions of St. Augustine. The Confessions is a confession, it's his, like his life story. He talks about his journey of coming to faith in Christ. Several years after this, the mom had been praying. She'd been on her knees, like all the time, praying, praying, praying. She lived to see his conversion. She lived to see him come to faith in Christ, and she said, I can die in peace now because of my son's faith. It's a remarkable story. It's a beautiful story. And it's a story of faith and prayer and trust. And so this morning, I want to talk one more time about the power of personal prayer in our lives. Now, in your bulletin, it says that our theme is trust, and it is trust. But we're going to talk about a prayer of trust and how those things go together. So let's look again at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11. That's where we left off last Sunday, and we talked about prayer. We're coming back to that text, and we'll branch out from there. Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, the super famous and important passage where it tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. There it is. They asked a question about prayer, and they got basically three sentences. They get three verses. Because he's going to go on, and he's going to talk. He's going to give some more information, like a parable about prayer. But he actually gave what we consider the model prayer of the Christian life. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And he gave that outline of prayer, that pattern of prayer, right here. It's so short and concise. Now, we know that Jesus also gave the prayer in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And there's actually another line added to it. And so we know that Jesus taught this prayer more than once. Perhaps when they heard it, when they asked about prayer, they thought they were going to get a different teaching. You know, I don't know. But Jesus just gave them this amazing pattern. I want you to know that when they asked the question about prayer, it wasn't really just about prayer. I think it was a question about life. I think it was a question about following Jesus. I think it was a question about the way forward in the new beginning. They had left all to follow Christ, and they've spent some time now with Jesus. It's sort of in the middle of their time with Jesus before he goes to the cross. And they've been taking notes. They've been watching Jesus. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, it talks about how he prayed. And they're watching Jesus, and they see the power of his life, the depth of his life. They see that Jesus has something that's amazing, and they want that. And so they ask about prayer because they're connecting. This is about prayer. But you know, it's about more than just prayer. It's actually about life. It's about how do we live as followers of Christ? How do we continue to go forward? And it's important. And so this morning I want to look at the very middle part of this prayer. We're going to look at chapter 11, verse 3. It's just one sentence. Give us each day our daily bread. That's the prayer, the request that comes right at the very center of this amazing, famous prayer. And I want you to see that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray each day for daily bread, he was teaching them and us to pray a prayer of daily trust in God. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer of personal daily trust in God. And it's stunning. It's actually kind of stunning when you think about it because of how this prayer sort of turns a corner right at that point. Think about it, because we need to take the whole prayer. Like, think about how it all goes together. The prayer begins with God and our view of God and hallowed be thy name, which is the glory of God. It moves to the kingdom of God, the glorious God who actually is doing something in this world. He's bringing his kingdom to pass, to bear in this world. It's a massive, huge, dynamic, glorious theme. And then we move from that to bread. You see, I'm saying it's stunning. It's just like you just turn a corner. You just go from there to a falafel. You go from that to biscuits. Right? It's like, would you like a corn or a flour tortilla with that? Why am I saying these things? Because I want to get your attention. I want you to know. He went from the glory of God and the kingdom of God to bread. That's sort of the power of this whole thing. I mean, you have to pay attention to what's going on here. It's amazing. When you look at the prayer, what you notice is it's you, you, and if we add the verse from Matthew, who says, your will be done, it's you, 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 and then it's us, us, us. Me, my life. It's amazing. That's the power of the thing. Now, the point of all this is that there's no detail of your daily life so small that God doesn't see and care about it. Every detail. So the prayer actually, literally, is about bread. It is. It's about bread. We went from the glory of God to a loaf of bread. Literally, that's what it's about. Because there's no detail too small. It's the bread that you eat. It's the meal that's provided for you. We believe in a God who actually cares about the details of our life, and it is about bread, but it's not just about bread. Because remember what we learned last week about this prayer? He's giving us categories. So the reason why this prayer is so powerful is because the prayer gives us the categories into which we can place all meaningful prayer. That's the beauty of it. It's like every prayer can somewhere be fit into the pattern of this prayer, and it's awesome. So he's not just talking about bread, he's talking about need. He's talking about the real details of your real life. And he's saying, God cares about that. God is concerned about street level, where you live in your life. It's true and it's powerful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So Martin Luther looked at this prayer and he said, give us this day our daily bread as a category. And so you could have a whole list of things to put in there. And he listed them out. Said you could pray about your cow. Pray about your house. Pray about your job. And he just went through. He's like listed out all these things. I like that. So what's on your list today? What would your list be? My wife sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night. She can't sleep. She wakes up. And often when she wakes up, she's anxious about something. Isn't it weird the way the mind works? It's like, you know, in the back of your mind, you're like working things out. You know, that's why you have weird dreams. Do you have weird dreams? I do sometimes. Like freakishly weird dreams. And my brain's like trying to work something out. My wife wakes up and she is anxious. And you know what? Like 90% of the time, it's the kids. Isn't it? Happy Mother's Day. It's the kids. It is. I mean, she wakes up and I'm like, you know, and I can feel her. Then I'm like, what's going on? She goes, oh, I'm worried about the kids. I'm like, still? Like, really? Like, you know, our kids are grown up now. They've moved out. They're married. We have grandkids. Still? Doesn't it ever end? No. It never ends. Never ends. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Thank you for that. That's on her list. So what does she do? She prays. She prays. She prays. And that's it. That's what God wants. And you know why? Because she knows that God cares. I have people that say to me, Pastor, I never pray about my own stuff and my own needs. As if it's some noble thing. Like they just told me like they're saintly. Because they don't ever pray for themselves. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not in the Bible. What the Bible says is that your life actually matters to God. The details of your life matter to God. And you should talk to God about the stuff in your life that matters to you, big and small. That's what the Bible says. Now, prayer is not just about our personal needs. It can't be just about that. On the other hand, it can't just be about the majesty and glory of God. I know people that say, oh, Pastor, when I pray, I just focus on the majesty and the glory of God, and it's huge and it's massive, and I go, that's awesome, but that's not all what prayer is. And on the other hand, prayer isn't just about your problems. It's not just about your needs. Here's the power of Christian prayer. It's that Jesus connects the dots for us in the Lord's Prayer. He connects those dots. He says, we're going to look at our Father. We're going to look at His glory. We're going to look at His kingdom. We're going to look at His will. And then we're going to set our own concerns in the light of that. We're going to connect the dots. See, the prayer of daily trust is a prayer of connecting the dots of the reality of God with the details of my own life and concerns. And that's the power of it. I love it. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of this. I want you to go to the Old Testament, to Exodus chapter 3. And, you know, just as I was studying this morning, I have to do this first because I love it so much. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. I want to show you something that happened in the experience of Moses in the Old Testament. You remember Moses, who had to flee from Egypt because he basically killed a guy and they were after him, and he had to flee. And he's out there in the desert and he's tending sheep, and God appears to him. God appears to him on the mountain in this bush, and the bush is burning, but it's not consumed. And Moses is like, what in the heck is going on? He goes over to see the bush, and God speaks to him. And I want you to listen very carefully to what God says to him. God says in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 5, God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The first thing that happened was he had a view of the majesty of God. He had a view of the eternity of God, let's say. It's God of the fathers. I mean, he's the same. The bush burns, it's never consumed. This is the picture of God. He's holy. He's amazing. And he's looking at this, and he's afraid. He's trembling as he sees this. And then it says in verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land flowing with milk and honey. God says, listen, you need to know something. God says, I see what's going on in your life. I hear your prayers, your cries. I know your suffering. I know the details of all of it. And I've come. I've come. I'm present. And I'll do a work. Isn't that beautiful? You see, what God is doing for Moses is connecting the dots between his glory and the details of God's people and the need of their life. This is a biblical pattern. And it's powerful. Now, throughout the Bible, we see this pattern over and over and over again. So let's go to another place, and we're going to see it repeated. How about Psalm 5? Psalm 5. It's a great psalm. It's one of my favorites. By the way, patterns of prayer, pray the Psalms. It's a great place to go. Just pray them. Just go to the Psalms and pray. Psalm 5, verse Psalm 5 to the choir master for flutes, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. This is known as the morning psalm. In the morning, morning by morning by morning by morning. Psalm 4 is known as the evening psalm. Evening by evening by evening by evening. There's a pattern. There's a pattern, a daily pattern of coming to God in prayer. And it's powerful. So we find it in the Psalms. You don't get very far in the book of Psalms. And we're only on Psalm 5. The praying only starts in Psalm 3, because the first two are introductory. So you just get like right to it. You get crisis, Psalm 3. You get evening prayer, Psalm 4. You get morning prayer, Psalm 5. This is the pattern, the biblical pattern. And Psalm 5 is a prayer of trust. It's a daily prayer of trust in God. That's what it is. Daily, morning by morning by morning. That's daily. It's a prayer of daily trust in God. And notice what it says. You know, this is the Word of God. So we want to pay attention to the words that are used here. We'll take a look at it for a minute. Notice all of the ways that it expresses the praying that's going on. It says in verse 1, give ear to my words. And this is just straight up, just like, God, I'm just talking to you. These are just my words. But then it says, consider my groaning. And then it says, give attention to the sound of my cry. The Hebrew, it's a shrill, like a scream that goes out. And then it says, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. It's the first time you get the word prayer is there. But it's all prayer. You know what this is teaching us? There's all kinds of ways to come to God. You come to God, and you know, well, the way I say it is, I just come to God and I give myself permission to come in whatever state I am. A lot of people, they're like, I got to come to God and, you know, it's, I have to like really think about it and have everything lined out before I talk to God. And I don't know about that. You know, there's a movement way back when there were actually books, Christian books written for women that said you should never pray before you put your makeup on. I don't know if you know. I mean, this is true. This is true. I can find the reference for you. I'm like, I'm not really too sure about that. You know? Because you just come to God. I like to say, I just come to God and I just am able to just go, just God, here I am, just as I am. And then after I do that, I kind of go back and I go, now let's get a little structure on this thing. And I go through the Lord's Prayer. And I have categories for my praying. But you notice what he says? Give ear to my words. Maybe you're the type that you're very cerebral and you just have words. You just sit down and you go, God, I think it's time for us to have a little talk. These are my words. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Do it. Maybe you're the type that groans. Consider my groaning. You come to God in your prayer, and you know the guy next to you is like, God, I think we should have a little talk right now. And you're just like, oh, God. That's good. That's good praying. Or the sound of my cry. Maybe you're a screamer. Maybe you come and you just scream. You know, I know people like that. That's okay. Doesn't matter. What matters is that every day you come to God. And you know what? Different days might look like different ones of these. You have to come every day to God. And what do you do? Well, it says this in verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Now, look, this verse is very important, verse 3. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Now, if you have the English Standard Version, like I'm reading out of, you'll notice there's a footnote where it says, I prepare a sacrifice for you. And then in the bottom of the page it says, or you could translate, in the morning I direct my prayer to you. I direct my prayer. I say, well, wait a minute now. Why the confusion? Why, I mean, what does it mean? Does it mean I prefer a sacrifice, or does it mean that I bring my prayer to you? Well, here's the thing. Here's what, you know, this is poetry. It's Hebrew poetry. And what the word actually means is I cut up wood and I lay it out. I cut up wood and I lay it out. What is that talking about? We got to understand that this is the description of someone getting ready to make an offering, to getting ready to make a sacrifice. You have to cut the wood up. This is exactly the word that's used in Genesis 22 when it says that Abraham took an axe and he cut up wood and he took the bundle of wood and he placed it on his son Isaac. And they walked up together up the mountain. And he had wood. He had fire. He had a knife. He was prepared to sacrifice his son. That's an intense story. And I'm thankful that I know how it ends, where God says, I will provide a sacrifice, Abraham. What an amazing picture of Jesus. But the wood that was cut up is exactly that. It's like for the sacrifice. So as you read the psalm, it's like, well, what does that mean to lay out wood? It's a metaphor of our praying. It's a picture of how we come to God. What if you take the details of your life and you sort of take them in pieces and you lay them out before the reality of God? You see, when you pray the prayer of trust, you pray specifically. It needs to be specific. A lot of people, they go, well, you know, I'm not very good at prayer. I don't really get much out of it. And you know why? It's because they pray like this. Lord, I just pray that you bless me and the whole world and my family. Amen. Okay, well, that's better than nothing. But not much. You know what I'm saying? It's not much. Because in prayer, we're specific. You cut it into pieces. You lay out, I'm concerned about this, God. What's on your list? Lord, here's my kids. Lord, here's my finances. Lord, here's the need in my life. Lord, here's the bread issue. I mean, you chunk it out and you lay it before God. And then it says, I'll prepare my sacrifice, which means I'm going to lay out these things. And then he says, notice, and I will watch. Literally it is, I will look up. I'm going to look up. Why? Because this is where you connect the dots. You connect the dot of the need in your life, the detail of your life, with the reality of the God that we believe in, of the God that we're praying to. I lay it out, I look up to God. And that's powerful. That's powerful. That's the prayer of daily trust. Now, I like the idea of comparison. I find the same Hebrew word about laying out the wood is used in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. And if you like to know the verse, it's 40:18. And the Bible says, O God, to whom shall we compare you? Like, how can we compare God to anything? I mean, what would we pick to compare God with? There's nothing. He's incomparable. And the word to compare is the same Hebrew word to cut up things into pieces, to cut into wood. And do you know why? The reason why is because if you cut up a bunch of wood and you lay it out, you're going to have different size pieces. You could like splinter up wood and you could lay them out and you go, well, here's a big piece, here's a little piece. And so if you wanted to compare something, you'd lay it out and take a look at it. In Isaiah, he says, who can we compare God to? And the answer is no one. In Psalm 5, he says, take your life and break it up into pieces, your concerns, your details, lay them out and then look up. And let's do a little comparison and contrast. All of a sudden, that issue that seems so big to you, so insurmountable, when you look up, you go, oh, wait, in the perspective of God, it didn't seem so big anymore. I'm going to compare this need with the sufficiency of God, with the sufficiency of Christ. Wow. You see, that's the prayer of daily trust in Psalm 5. And it's powerful. Do you practice that kind of prayer in your life? Because this is the way forward. This is actually the way forward. People are like, well, I don't know how to go forward. I'm telling you how to go forward. If you have a new beginning in your life, if you need a new beginning in your life, if you started in a new beginning, the only way to sustain a new beginning is with new patterns in your life. You can't have a new beginning and just do everything the way you did it before and expect anything to have lasting change. Where's the new pattern in your life? And the fundamental pattern of the Christian life is prayer, and a big part of it is the prayer of daily trust. And the power of that kind of praying is that it breaks the grip of worry in your heart. And it keeps you in a place of humble dependence before God. So let's go to another place in the Bible and look at this theme from a different angle. How about Philippians chapter 4? This is a favorite for many people. If you ever bummed out and you don't know what to read, read Philippians 4. Right? It's just it's a principle. Just read Philippians 4. And this verse will always bless you, Philippians 4 in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. I mean, that's kind of a totality, isn't it? It's like, don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. God cares. Bring it all to God with thanksgiving. Lay it out before the Lord. And what does he promise? Peace in your life. It will break the grip of anxiety that you experience in your life. Now, I am a semi-messy person. I just want to say, I'm semi-messy. And my wife, so I have a home office. I have a shelf for Augustine in there. And in my home office, sometimes it gets messy. And my wife will come by the door and look inside, and she'll say, that is getting pretty messy in there. What are you going to do about it? And my response is, nothing. And you're not allowed to come in and touch anything either. Because it's my office. This whole house, I have one space. This is it. It's my domain. And this is what I do. Just shut the door. If you don't like it, shut the door. All right? That's our little arrangement that we have. Sometimes it causes a tiny bit of tension, but we do have an arrangement. But here's the thing. Secretly, I can tell you this, that the pile grows. So I have a pile on my desk that grows. And after a while, I start to get anxious about it. Because I'm looking at this pile and I'm going, "What? I wonder what's in there." You know, I've thrown bills on it. I've got important things. You know, I just throw them on there. And then they get covered. And I go, "I wonder what's in that pile. What's going to come crawling out? You know, it's alive. I don't know." And so, occasionally, every few months, I go through the pile. I can't take it anymore. I can't function. So I come in, like, with a garbage can and a biohazard suit. And I come in and I start to go through the pile. And I throw things away and I file things. And at the end of that process, I go, oh, I can work again. Life works again. I open the door. I go, honey, look. Isn't this beautiful? Now, what if the prayer of daily trust is the equivalent of going through the pile? What if it's the equivalent of cleaning out your heart and your mind and your spirit before God. And you can't wait a month. You can't wait a week. You can't let everything pile up. You've got to bring it to God. And you just, item by item by item, you lay it out before God and you look up. And you get God's perspective on things. See, when we lay out our lives before God, it's not just to get what we need. It's so that we can see what we have in the light of who God is and what his purpose is and what his plan is and what he's doing. And we could give it to him and say, God, how could you use this? What are you doing in this? And all of a sudden, we're connecting the dots in our relationship with God. That's the prayer of daily trust. You can't wait. You need to come to God in your life and pray this kind of prayer in your life. It begins to break the hold of anxiety in our life, but it does something else. It also gives us a life of humble dependence on God. Humble dependence. I mean, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you know what you're really acknowledging is, I can't control everything. I can't control every detail of life. I just can't do it. And so I need you, Lord. I need you to help. I need you to provide in my life. And that is huge. I have a message for you this morning, and that is that you are not in control of all things. You're not. You never have been. You never will be. Where does anxiety come from? We studied this in church a few months ago. Anxiety is what we feel when we know the stakes are high, and simultaneously we know that we can't control the outcome. That's where anxiety comes from. The stakes are high. This is important. I can't control the outcome. You're getting anxious from me just saying that. You're thinking, oh yeah, you've had that experience. That's always where anxiety comes from. But for the Christian's able to say, the stakes are high. Here, let's lay it out. I can't control the outcome, but I look up to God who actually is in control, and I put my life in his hands. That's what the prayer of daily trust does, and it's amazing. There's a professor whose name is Albert Mohler. He's the president of a seminary somewhere. He tells a story of having heart surgery. And while he was kind of waiting, you know, to be prepped for this thing, he had two doctors that were sort of working with him. And they came into his room and they started having a discussion. And they actually started kind of arguing with each other over what to do. Now, this is not good. When your doctors are arguing. And he's like, really? Is this what's happening? It's like, can't you guys get on the same page? And he's talking to them. And he's saying, well, wait a minute. What am I supposed to do? Like, what's my role in this? Excuse me, what can I do? And one of the doctors actually walked over to him, looked at him, and said, you need to shut up. All right? This is not good bedside manner. He said, you need to be quiet. And he said, and if you don't, I'll sedate you. He said, you need to understand something. There's nothing that you can do. You have nothing to contribute to this process. You're going to have to let us do this for you. They had to sedate him after that. And he tells the story. He's like, isn't that so much like our lives? It's like, no, I'm doing this, and you know what? I'm going to read this, and I know that, and I've got it all figured out, and I've studied all the best practices. And we read manuals, and we know if I just do this, we take classes. We have a class here. A parenting class. It's a wonderful class. Everybody should take it. But even after you take the class, and even after you do all the best practices, you cannot guarantee the outcome. And it makes us anxious to think about it. We're like, no, if I just do this, and this, I'll get this result. Not necessarily, because you're not in control. And there's more factors involved than you can imagine. But not for God. And so as Christians, we look up to God and we pray the prayer of daily trust. Let me share, just because it's Mother's Day, I need to share one more verse from the Old Testament. thought of this one this morning. It's a great one. It's Psalm 131. And it's just a great psalm. So I'm going to read it to you, Psalm 131. It's only three verses long. It's a song of ascent of David. It says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I just love that. David's like, you know, you get to a point where you just kind of hit your limit. And he goes, I can't figure it all out. I mean, there's some things that are too high for me. I can't figure it out. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a child. I'm going to be just like a child with its mother. I'm just going to sit in the lap of God, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to hope in him. Isn't that great? That's the prayer of daily trust in the Lord. I want to leave you with one last word, and that's the word daily. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So you get daily twice in one verse. Daily, daily. It's a pattern. It's a daily life pattern. You can do this. Well, wait a minute. It's not just that you can do it. You need to do it. You need to do this. And people say, well, Pastor, I don't really know how to pray. Baloney. You're here today. We just talked about it. You know how to pray. You're here last week. You heard the pattern. You know how to pray. The real problem is not that people don't know how to pray. It's just that people don't pray. It's a daily pattern. This is my recommendation. Put the smartphone down. Put it down. I have on my smartphone a little yellow sticky tab. It's a little program. You can write yourself notes. And I have a note on the front of my smartphone, and the note says, this phone is not the Holy Spirit. That's what it says on the front of my phone. This phone is not the Holy Spirit. And I actually, you know why I put that there? It wasn't a joke. I wasn't like a little bit of humor. I actually put that there because I'm like, this phone is not the Holy Spirit. Alert, alert. I actually thought this phone ran my life. I actually thought I could interface with the whole world, the whole galaxy, find every answer to everything through the portal of this phone. It's a smartphone, isn't it? I have access to the cloud. The repository of all known knowledge and wisdom of all time at my fingertips. Siri will tell me. I'll lay out my problems before Siri. I'll search for an answer. I'll find the best practices for everything. We're going to cloud source the salvation of humanity. But it's all a falsehood. Put down the smartphone. Turn off your Spotify. Just unplug for a few minutes. How much time would it take you every day to just take some time and pray? To take some time and to enjoy your relationship with God and then bring the details of your life to him in a trusting prayer. Not very much time, really. Out of 24 hours, not very much time. Let's do it and see what happens, because this is the way forward. This is really the only way to sustain any momentum you have in your life in Christ. And when we stop praying, we stop believing, we stop hoping, and our Christian life becomes just an empty shell. And man, it could be so much more than that. So I'm going to have the worship team come up right now. And as they do, we're going to pray a prayer. Could I have you bow your head with me? And let's pray. And why don't we right now pray? pray a prayer of daily trust in the Lord together. Our Father in heaven, we're so blessed, Lord, and so appreciative that you actually care about the details of our life, Lord. It's astounding. We read it on the page, Lord, and I guess it's hard to really grasp it, to really believe it. Would you help us, Lord, to believe these words? Would you help us to take them for our own lives personally and enjoy them? And Lord, we thank you for the pattern that we find in this prayer. And right now, Lord, we're going to take you at your word, and we're going to pray about our daily bread, those needs, those concerns, those details that we have. And so now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, would you do this? Take an issue in your life. What's on your list? Take an issue. And I want you to imagine that issue just, you know, you could see it as a word or a person or a thing, and take it and just lay it down. Just lay it down in front of you. Just lay it down. Put it there before God. It could be big or small. And then, what's the next thing on that list? Not something for next year or 10 years from now, but right now, right now. You take that thing and just lay it down before God. And now, having laid those things down, we want to look up. We want to look up at our glorious God, at our loving Savior. We want to look up at the one who cares for us so deeply and just give it to him and say, God, we trust you. We trust you for these things. Today, Lord, tomorrow I'll have to come back. Today, I trust you. Put it in your hands. Thank you for that, Lord. Oh, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to be men and women of daily trust. We need you for that, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to come back in a minute and just share a couple things before we go.